represent Bigfoot. Say.
So last week and the week prior, in our intros, I touched a little bit on circumstantial and physical evidence, right?
Yeah.
This particular podcast goes even a step further.
What?
Not only do we have circumstantial evidence, we have physical evidence, and we have the very rare paranormal evidence.
What? No way.
Believe it or not. Yeah, it's really what solved the whole case, actually.
I'm so excited.
It's quite an interesting story. I apologize because once I picked up on it and started researching it, I figured out that it was heavily covered this year. Even though it's old, it just became like a trend thing, I guess.
Oh, man. But we'll be different because we're us.
I hope we're different a little bit.
I'm a former reporter.
Yeah.
Kind of a reporter again. Honestly.
You are a reporter. You're the most legit reporter on the island, baby.
I love you.
I love you. It's true. Right. I love you, too. So this is the story of the murder of Teresita Bassa.
Excuse us, dude.
So Teresita Bassa was a native of the Philippines who came to the United States after graduating from college. She earned a master's degree in music from Indiana College, and at the time that this story takes place, was working a full-time job while also being enrolled at Loyola University working on her doctor's thesis on music.
She was busy.
She was.
Wow.
During the day, Teresita worked at Edgewater Hospital in Chicago as a respiratory therapist. Friends, you have?
Yeah, but I don't know if I heard the paranormal part.
Friends described Teresita as very straight and said that she did not even drink. She would
on like straight edge,
like not. I think more in a religious sense, like straight edge, like looking down upon people necessarily, you know, and whatever. But just like, would Filipinos be Catholic? Maybe
often.
So like that, you know.
Okay.
Anyways, she would on occasion have a male friend over to her apartment, but apparently that is all they were, friends. Aww. On February 21st, 1977, somewhere around 7:30 p.m.
I have not heard this case.
Ruth Loeb, a friend slash co-worker from the hospital, called Teresita at her apartment and chatted with her for about 20 minutes. During the conversation, Teresita said that she had a male visitor at her apartment but did not identify him. At approximately 8:40 p.m., Teresita's neighbors smelled smoke and notified the building's janitor, who alerted other residents and called the fire department.
Oh, no.
Heavy smoke had filled the hallway outside of Teresita's 15th-floor apartment by the time the firefighters arrived, and the janitor used his passkey to let them in the apartment. The firefighters found a pile of clothes laying on top of a mattress and smoldering, creating the smoke. After taking care of the smoldering clothes, they moved the mattress upon which was laying Teresita. Not upon the mattress. The mattress was covering up Teresita's body.
Okay.
So they basically just kind of kicked the clothes aside, and because they weren't really burning. You know, they were poorly smoldering but creating a lot of smoke. And then the mattress was like askew, and the whole apartment was ransacked. So they thought there was probably maybe like an end table or a piece of furniture under that mattress. But when they picked it up, there was Teresita on her back, naked, with a butcher knife right in the center of her chest.
Oh, the poor baby.
I know.
Aww.
So, really, the apartment was just like totally ransacked. When the police arrived, they couldn't really tell if anything was missing or not.
Aww.
So they didn't have much to go on. And the case was assigned to two investigators, Joseph Stachula and Lee Epling.
Okay.
From the apartment, they couldn't really gather any evidence. They didn't think anything was missing. They didn't really know, but it didn't look like it. The only thing they found that kind of tweaked their brain a little bit was they were going through a journal, I guess, of hers, and in a recent entry it said, "Get tickets for AS," like the initials AS.
Uh-huh.
So they investigated, they interviewed, you know, friends and neighbors.
Yeah.
And by the end of April of that year, it was just kind of stalled out.
Oh, man.
Like, it was pretty much a cold case now. They didn't have anything.
Oh, yeah.
But then in August of that year, the Evanston Police Department.
We've been there.
Contacted, we've been there many times, contacted the Chicago Police Department.
It was Chicago.
Said, hey, you guys ever heard of this guy named Alan Showery?
Those initials.
Oh, you're right.
Ooh.
Who also works at Edgewater Hospital. Chicago's like, no, not really. But we know those initials.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know, they probably didn't put all that together.
Right.
But somehow the detective got referred to Evanston. Evanston PD is like really hinky. They're like, you know, maybe we got a couple people you should maybe talk to, but that's about all we're gonna say on this.
What?
Yeah. So Evanston Police Department introduced Detective Stachula.
That's a name that we cannot pronounce because we are Mainers.
To a couple. Dr. Jose Chua and his wife.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Chula worked at another hospital as a surgical assistant.
Uh-huh.
But his wife had worked at Edgewater as also a respiratory therapist.
Okay.
Later on, it would come out that she claimed not to even know Tara Cedar.
What?
Except she met her, because they worked different shifts.
Oh.
But she met her one time at a new employee orientation years prior.
Okay.
So, Detective Stachula goes to Evanston, and he meets with presumably just Dr. Chua.
Okay.
Because Mrs. Chua never, ever allowed herself to be interviewed, actually.
Weird.
So, the Chuas were very reluctant to speak with him. And he just was bold, and he's like, look, I feel like you have something that might be pertinent to this murder case.
Right.
Right? So, they're like, okay. Or Dr. Chua was like, okay. And the very first thing he asked the detective was if he believed in exorcism or possessions.
Whoa.
And then he stated that, look, I'm a medical professional, and throughout the course of my training and education, I've been taught to accept things that don't always make sense.
Right.
But this is just so bizarre. We were very hesitant to call the police because we thought you guys would think we were just crazy.
Yeah.
Or something like that. He also said that he personally, prior to what happened at their apartment, had never heard of Teresita or even known about her murder.
Oh.
So, this is what Dr. Chua told the detective.
Okay.
One hot summer night, they were sitting in their living room, and Mrs. Chua got up, like, just got up, and walked into the bedroom and laid down on the bed, without even saying anything.
Okay.
Which he thought was strange. So he followed her, found her lying on the bed, staring blankly, he says, and he asked her whether anything was wrong.
Hmm.
Now, remember that, I forgot to say, the Chuas are also from the Philippines.
Oh, all right.
Okay, the national language of the Philippines is Tagalog.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, both of these parties, the Chuas and Teresa, are bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Chua says he goes into the bedroom and sees his wife laying on her back, staring blankly at the ceiling, and he's like, hey, baby, you okay?
Yeah.
And in a Tagalog, in the Tagalog language, but with some strange, he described it as a Spanish accent. She starts to tell him details about the murder.
Okay.
She literally said, I am Teresito Basso.
Whoa.
And he was like blown away.
Right.
The voice, his wife, but the voice, we'll call it, went on to say that she had been murdered.
Whoa.
And named Alan Showery as the man who had done it.
All right, so wait, can we go back?
Yes.
So this woman works with her.
In the same well, the
same hospital and the other guy. At the
time of this event, I'm not sure if it was the time of the actual murder.
Yeah.
Or this more paranormal event, she did no longer work at the hospital.
Oh.
And according to her, her only, through via the doctor, right. her only contact with Teresita was that employee orientation.
Okay. But what about the AS guy? Did she know him?
Oh, I don't know.
And when was this, how, in relationship to the murder of this paranormal?
The murder was February 21st. Okay. So this is in August.
Okay.
So a lot of time
ago. Good long time.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
So they didn't just think she did it?
Who?
Everybody.
Who, Mrs. Chua?
Yeah, I'm making it up.
Well, wait.
Okay.
I mean, so Dr. Chua began to question the voice.
Okay.
Okay?
Which is what you would do.
Well,
what anybody yeah. intelligent would do. These are intelligent people, obviously. They're bilingual. They're in the medical field. They're all smart.
Yeah.
All right.
The voice gave a lot of detail.
Oh, really?
It said that Alan Showery arrived alone at the apartment at 7 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Now, remember, it was just after 7 when her friend called, and she said she had a male visitor to
her apartment. Right, yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah. An unnamed male visitor.
The doctor said, "Why did you let him in?" And the voice said that he was her friend. And that while they were alone together, he stabbed her. So, the detective at this time, this is Dr. Chua relating this to the detective.
Right.
The detective had already received the pathologist's report, and I left that part out on purpose.
Okay.
Because the detectives originally, they didn't think it was really necessarily a robbery. They thought it was like, oh, I raped this girl, now I gotta kill her.
Oh.
Because she was naked under the mattress, right?
Right.
So, the detective, knowing what the pathology report said, asked Dr. Chua if the voice indicated whether the victim had been raped.
Mm-hmm.
And the policeman said, or the doctor said, she only said that she had been stabbed.
Uh-huh.
So, about 30 minutes later, Mrs. Chua comes back around to her normal self. And she claims not to have remembered even leaving the living room and going to the bedroom.
All right.
The only thing the doctor said about that was that it made his wife very thirsty. The whole experience.
Weird, but interesting.
So, they discussed this event and what happened. And they figured together that if they told anybody what happened, they would just look like fools.
Right.
But then, a second incident occurred.
Oh.
And the voice of Teresita again emerged from Mrs. Chua. Well, that's kind of a presumption.
Yeah, right. But. Yeah, I got it.
So, the voice this time pleaded with the doctor for help.
Uh-huh.
The doctor told the voice that what you're telling me is no good without any evidence.
Uh-huh.
Then the voice said Alan Showery had taken some of Teresita's jewelry.
Uh-huh.
And that there were certain people who could identify that jewelry.
Wow.
And those certain people are Teresita's family. Because this particular jewelry was a kind of a set of jewelry that Teresita's father had purchased for her mother. Uh-huh. Upon passing, she had inherited it from her mother. So the whole family knew this jewelry well, right?
Right.
And so the voice said, the family can identify the jewelry. The voice also said, Alan Showery has given this some of this jewelry to his wife. And some of this jewelry to his girlfriend. So after that second episode, the doctor discussed it with his supervisors at the hospital.
Oh my god.
And still they weren't quite sure whether or not they should call the police or not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Because it kind of would be like, if you call the police, they're going to be like, oh, so you did it.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
But then, a third time, the voice came out, pleading with the Chuas to enlist the aid of the police.
That's really her. That was so sad. That's a lot of effort.
Yeah. So, Detective Statula's like, well, that's crazy.
Oh, no.
But Alan Showery could be AS.
Yeah.
Right? They work together at the same hospital. So he tracks down Alan.
Yeah.
I believe he finds Alan.
Yeah.
At his girlfriend's apartment.
Alan's being a little naughty, huh?
Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's already spoken to somebody. It must be family or somebody that can give him at least a vague description of this jewelry.
Right.
Because while he's at the apartment, he notices that the girlfriend is wearing a couple items.
Oh, boy.
And she says Alan gave it to her in February as a belated Christmas present.
Oh, boy.
In fact, she actually showed up to an interview at a police station wearing a piece of it, I think.
What?
Yeah.
What?
They also found some of the jewelry at his wife's house.
Right.
Or his and his wife's house or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
So then, obviously, they're like, well, this is really wacky.
Yeah.
But we got to pursue it, right?
Right.
So they bring Alan in. And he's like, yeah, I was there early in the evening to try to fix her television for her. But turns out I couldn't. And I think somewhere along the line, his wife eventually said, Alan didn't know crap about electronics.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So, and I think somehow they became convinced that the Chuas were not involved in the murder.
Right.
So he gets arrested.
Whoa.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
And he's awaiting trial.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of time goes by,
oh,
as you know how the court system works, right?
Yes.
The wheel of justice turns slow.
Yes, it does.
In October of that year, a judge did say that Alan Showery, while the evidence is completely out of the norm,
yeah,
Alan Showery has to stand trial.
Wow.
Because of the jewelry, and he actually admitted to it.
What?
Yeah.
He did.
But he recanted it.
Oh, man.
Quite quickly. So on October 2nd of that year, the judge is like, yep, you're going to trial. So Alan, he don't have a lot of money. He's just hanging out in jail waiting trial.
Yeah. Leaving so many women.
Long time goes by.
Yeah.
Trial comes. February 20th, 1979.
Oh, okay.
So one day short of exactly 2 years of the murder.
Wow, that's crazy.
The jury is deadlocked.
No.
A mistrial was declared.
No.
2 days later.
Yeah.
Which is one day after the 2 year anniversary of his death. Alan and his lawyer show up in court, probably for a dismissal type of situation.
Yeah.
Alan confesses to the murder.
What?
Right in front of the judge.
Why?
Don't know. Maybe that's more paranormal influence.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe he liked you.
He's sentenced to 14 years in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which seems awful low, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but I don't know exactly what the charges were, right? Yeah. It might not have been like aggravated murder or even a full-blown murder or something like that. But he ends up getting out. He was paroled in 1983.
Oh, that's not very long at all.
He only did 4 years.
For killing someone?
Yeah, plus an additional 4 years for arson and burglary. So
my gosh.
That's 18 years total. And he only did 4.
Oh,
he was paroled. So they were probably jacked up, you know?
That's so ridiculous.
Our
poor family.
I know. And that's really the end of the story.
Yeah. That's so sad, though. And weird. And
it's crazy. I did find one little thing as I was searching our newspaper archives for Alan Showery.
Yeah.
And, well, first I found a thing, like a blog post by somebody, which is in our links of sources.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular blogger tried to track Alan's life as he, after prison.
Okay, yeah.
So he did his prison sentence.
Right.
Pre-Chicago, he lived in New York.
Oh.
Post-prison, he possibly lived in maybe Chicago again, California, and New York.
Right.
And they said they lost track of him sometime around 2004 in New York. Like, uh-huh. That's as far as they could get. But,
did you lose track of him too?
No, I didn't get the date for this article.
Oh, nosies.
But it was early 90s, I believe. So approximately, let's just say 10 years after he's released from prison.
Okay.
This is in New Jersey.
Okay.
Well,
do you want me to sing the John Gorka song?
No. It's New. I don't know if it's New York or New Jersey. I think it's New Jersey. It's the Port Authority Police.
Okay. Yeah.
Which, I don't know why it's the Port Authority Police. What I'm about to tell you about must have happened near one of their places where they work. A couple. They were Asian, not that it matters at all. We're driving down the street. Something happened. They ran into a light post, and the husband and wife in the car died.
Oh, no.
While they were, like, investigating the crash and tending to, because there was a passenger or two in there.
Right.
There was a survivor. Some homeless guy tries to steal the lady's purse and gets caught.
Oh, no.
And his name is Alan Showery.
Oh, wow. That's low, man.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's desperate.
I'm not saying that's the same guy.
Right.
But I can totally picture Alan Showery being homeless
after all that.
His wonderful life he's led.
Well, it's really hard to bounce back after jail.
And it doesn't have an age in here. I could have, more or less confirmed it, probably. Because I think by my math, he's like 77 now or something. Or possibly dead. Who knows?
Well, it was the murder was in the 70s, right? And he was a working guy in the 70s.
So. Yeah. Yeah. He was in his, he was young. She was 47 at the time, and he was in his early 30s.
Oh, wow.
So in 77.
Hmm.
So, yeah. If it was 93, that's what? 16 years?
I don't know. That's math, man.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been too old at all,
Yeah.
Like a late 50s, early 60s homeless guy trying to steal a purse off of a dead lady.
That's so sad.
I know it is.
That's desperate, man.
But tell me what you think about the whole Chua aspect. Mrs. Chua and her.
I don't know, man.
Because I thought of that, too. I was like, what if Mrs. Chua? All right, what if Alan was just smooth as silk?
Yeah.
Just even though he had nothing going for him, I don't know what he did at the hospital. He wasn't a doctor. He might have been an orderly or something.
Yeah.
And he
played Mrs. Chua too.
Maybe she knew that information some other way.
Yeah.
Couldn't let her husband know.
But had to get it out
because of her guilt.
Yeah. Plus, she was like, "Oh, he sucks," and he killed.
And she didn't even get any of the jewelry.
Yeah.
I mean. Not that she needed it, probably, but,
No, see, that would make sense to me. Right. If you're being a skeptic, that totally makes sense.
How would she know all the details?
He told her.
He told her that the family could identify the jewelry.
Oh.
Right? Because that was definitely, that's how they identified the jewelry. She said...
He could have. You know what? He could have told her that the family identified the jewelry because she could have told him.
The story of her jewelry. That's true.
And she'd be like, this came from my mom, this came from my blah, blah, blah.
Right.
From my blah, blah, blah. It's so important to me.
Yeah.
And so he could have known that. And he could have been, so many scenarios could have happened. Maybe Mrs. Chua didn't, have a thingy with him, but maybe she saw him and he was, freaking out and she tried to talk to him and he confessed everything. She promised he would never tell.
Maybe.
Yeah. And she didn't.
And then she does it in what is basically in the United States a very uncommon language, but common to both of them.
Yeah.
Which would be strange to me. Like, that takes a lot of thinking and forethought. Unless it's just purely stress related, because that's my native language, right?
Yeah.
So now in this super stressful situation where I'm putting on this big show for my husband, it just happens.
So, it could be, but either way, she's a hero.
I honestly prefer to think of it as paranormal, because that would be super cool.
If she was possessed, and this ghost of this amazingly gifted woman, mm-hmm. right, ended up using her for some reason, which is a big why. Maybe just because they both spoke the same language, right?
But they have that commonality of nationality.
Right, but they're also both bilingual, so it wouldn't have to be that language. But, you know, maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're
You got to think, if you're an immigrant, you probably feel a little bit more safe with
somebody
fellow countrymen, so to speak.
Somebody with a similar background.
Right.
But not just a similar background, like a similar hospital background, too. Like there's so many similarities.
That's right.
There. So yeah.
And who knows how much power a paranormal entity has of picking out choices. Mm-hmm. They might only be able to choose from things that it knows. Like, and it barely knew her, according to Mrs. Chua, but that might be relevant to
Maybe they resonated at the same energy level, man.
Who knows? I'm just saying that might be pertinent to what it has to draw from for choices, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And as we both know, I'm more of a believer in paranormal things than you are.
I know.
But I think I'd believe it even more if she didn't work at that same hospital. And there was
no contact with her or with Teresita or Alan.
It's all about Alan, right. Andrew, a name, I don't know. But yeah, if I knew she never ever probably had contact with that guy, I'd be all in.
Yeah.
All in, yeah.
Well, we don't know that she did, but you have to assume Teresita did, which she did. And it's really hard to believe even that, because if you work at the same hospital, it doesn't matter that you work different shifts, especially if you're working in the same kind of field.
Right.
You always meet your coworkers through like shift overlap and hey, will you cover this for me? I got an emergency. I got to take, you know, there's no way you can work at a hospital for like any amount, more than a week and not know the majority of the players. I don't think.
Well, there's that, but there's also, like, you know, if I'm, you know, here I am, just a random white woman in Maine, right? Mm-hmm. And who's named Carrie. But if I met another Carrie from Maine, like, who was originally from New Hampshire at my job.
Right.
Feeling for a hot second, I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's the other Carrie from New Hampshire, man.
Right.
And I'd really, really remember it.
That's right.
Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, maybe I met her. Oh,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely. Like, you both being from the Philippines. I mean, she didn't deny that she had met her at the thing, but that's what she said that was the extent of their knowledge of
each
other. Which
is also very believable. But I'm intrigued by why she, like, didn't ever get interviewed.
She wouldn't. She said it was too much of a traumatic experience for her and her family. So
see, that's what's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but wow.
Because it is,
because
she was afraid of the spotlight of an interview breaking her down and her having to admit the truth.
No, or maybe, well, maybe, but
well,
maybe
I'm
also.
I'm playing on your theory.
Yeah, if you're going to be a skeptic, that's where you'd go. And if you're going to not be a skeptic, you're going to be like, yeah, it's effing traumatic. And who wants to talk to a bunch of cops who are going to be like, you're making up the shit. You're making up the shit when you yourself probably don't even know where the hell it came from.
Well,
you know?
Like, it would be traumatic, but.
I just swore.
Think about yourself.
Yeah. Like,
what if some of the things that used to happen to you came out to be super pertinent?
Oh, me?
Yeah. How would you feel
about
going forward?
We're not talking
about
me right now.
I know.
No.
Definitely not.
I would do it.
Yeah.
I would do it, but I wouldn't want to do it.
Right.
Because I'm always about being self-righteous pain in the ass. And I'm always like, I have to help other people if there's a possibility, no matter what.
Right.
Oh. So,
well,
like,
maybe that's how Mrs. Chua felt. And she created all that just so she could do it.
Maybe. Or maybe she was possessed, which would be so cool.
I know. Look, I spun it around on you now.
Yeah.
You just said the same thing.
They're both such.
That would be my preference.
Either way, it's so interesting.
It is.
What do the rest of the podcasting, blogging, newspaper,
I don't know. I didn't listen to that. Look into that. The newspaper doesn't. Or none of the newspapers offered up any sort of an opinion on that. Not at all.
Well, thank you. That was a really interesting one, dude.
I thought it was great as far as interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super wild.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And have a happy holiday season.
Yay. Holiday.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Dude No. Please be sure to like, share, and subscribe. And tell all your friends what a goofy couple... has this podcast and how good it is to listen to.
Be kind.
Be kind. Be kind. Yes. Thank you. Excuse us, dude.